Thanks, everyone, for braving the giants. And we also have been quite focused on the events in New York over the last couple of days. So we braved, well, we didn't actually brave the hurricane because we've been here the whole time, but we're happy to be here presenting today. And I have 20 minutes to spend talking about health home implementation in New York State. I could spend 20 days talking about it, so I'm going to try to do the best that I can to summarize what's happened over the course of the last, essentially the last year, possibly 18 months in 20 minutes. So what I'm going to try to do is maybe blow past some of the earlier slides that are about the Affordable Care Act that I think we're all relatively familiar with and move on to what how it has impacted the implementation of health homes and what really health homes are in New York State. Nothing to disclose. So, you know, this really just talks about healthcare, projected healthcare spending in New York through 2020 and indicates the need for some sort of reform that would lead to a savings. And again, the Affordable Care Act, it is the driver for the implementation, implementation and the, bear with me, I'm just getting my bearings here. The implementation and the development of health homes in New York City and New York State. So the Affordable Care Act, because it did include a provision for comprehensive care coordination, New York State seized on that when looking at how to redesign Medicaid services, and I'll get to that now. So beginning in 2011, New York State, when Governor Cuomo took office, he initiated the Medicaid redesign team, and really their whole goal was to look at how Medicaid funds were being spent in New York State and try to achieve some economies of scale, improve on programming, and deliver a new type of service integration that was previously, you know, all the services were siloed, and what he was looking to do was achieve a greater service integration leading to a greater cost savings for Medicaid spending. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of a $10 million Medicaid deficit that they were looking to maybe cut in half. So this redesign team came up with 57 recommendations, one of which was the health home implementation in New York City. Really what they were looking for was an opportunity to coordinate care, both health care and behavioral health care, social service care, mental health care, into a service delivery option that would not only allow for more coordinated care to be delivered to very disenfranchised, very fragile population in New York State, but also then to achieve a cost savings because care would be integrated and providers would be talking to one another. A big impetus for doing this is the federal match. So in New York State, the state share of Medicaid was a 50-50 match, and the Affordable Care Act allowed for New York State to capitalize on a 90-10 split of the New York State share of Medicaid, so that's a 40% savings for the first 2 years if we implemented this model of coordinated care. So some other states have seen this as patient-centered medical homes. Many states are calling it different things. New York is calling it health homes. Other states have also called it health homes. So Governor Cuomo wanted to capitalize on the savings and be able to then redesign a lot of the Medicaid services with some of that savings. Again, primarily the goal, cost savings and better care coordination. This is just essentially a representation of how dollars are being spent, and what you'll see really is about a quarter of the spending in New York State is on behavioral health care. And you can see it's a little bit fuzzy, but you can see some of the PMPM breakouts there, which is the per member per month payments from Medicaid, and you can see it's at about $1,300, almost $1,400 per member per month in the behavioral health realm in New York State right now, and they were really looking to dramatically reduce that cost. So this is what they did. New York State, this is overseen by the New York State Department of Health. They are implementing this whole initiative, and they took a look at the Medicaid population that they were targeting that would benefit from the care coordination. So as you can see, a very, very large slice of the pie is folks who are struggling with behavioral health disorders. And they estimated that nearly 1 million Medicaid beneficiaries New York statewide would benefit from care coordination of this type. And as you can see, upwards of 400,000 of them struggling with behavioral health, mental health disorders. The developmental disabilities slice of the pie currently is not being rolled into health homes. They may get there. They just don't have a mechanism yet for doing that. It's a complicated population. They're also taking their time rolling children in, and I'll get to that later on in the presentation. The long-term care population is a slice of this pie. However, again, that's a population that they're holding off the table because of the payment streams, primarily how long-term care is reimbursed in New York State. It was a little bit cleaner to start with other populations first and then roll that population in later. They are phasing this in, and again, I'll get to this. So how is this all being paid for? Essentially, what they're doing is for a specific targeted population, which I'll get to in a moment on the next slide, currently they are proposing that care management services are going to be paid at a fixed PMPM, so per member per month rate. And how are they designing that rate? They have assigned an acuity point. Essentially, it's a per point of acuity payment. So they worked with 3M, I'm forgetting now the name of the researcher. They worked with a researcher and 3M to develop a software tool where they could look at claims information. Thank you, John Billings. This is Dr. Neil Pessin. He's worked for Community Mental Health Services. He's just the kibitzer. He's helping when I forget the fine details. They worked with the John Billings group and this 3M software to develop a payment algorithm. So essentially they're taking all of the folks who are eligible for health home services, and they're running 5 years worth of claims data, Medicaid claims data, through this software program. And what they've come up with is an estimated acuity, high, medium, and low acuity. And they have recently, and again, when I say they, I'm referring to Department of Health, they have recently added a couple of other layers to make the acuity estimation a little bit richer. So originally it was just flat claims data, and now what they've understood is important to look at are risk factors as well. So homelessness, recent incarceration, you know, absence of any connectivity to any type of services whatsoever, suicidality, other risk factors that may then increase somebody's acuity that can't be captured on flat claims data. But essentially, they're assigned this acuity level, and there's a base rate for acuity, $23.27. And so for each point of acuity, they times the point of acuity by that base rate, and you get your per member per month payment. To give you a sense of the savings that they're looking at, currently the programs that are doing this type of work that will be phased into health home services are receiving somewhere in the neighborhood of a $600 to $700 a month payment. The new health home services they're looking at right now, the payments between $100 and $300 at the upwards limit. So it's a dramatic cost savings. It's also a dramatic way of having to redesign services for the providers in the community who are doing this service and, you know, need to figure out a way to stay financially solvent. So I'll just speak for a brief moment about legacy or existing care management organizations. So what the state is doing is they looked at the slice of a population, this million plus folks, who currently are not enrolled in any sort of program, any sort of care management service. And those are the Medicaid beneficiaries that they're hoping to have all of these health home providers outreach and enroll into health home services. In addition, There is a whole other group of the Medicaid beneficiaries who are currently receiving services through case management programs in New York City and New York State. So intensive case management programs, substance abuse case management programs, HIV/AIDS provider case management programs, those programs are all being rolled into this new model of care. So they're considered legacy providers, and they're maintaining the existing payment for those programs for the first year, and then they'll get a blended rate, and then after 2 years, everybody will be in the new health home payment structure. So when I talk about legacy providers, that's what I mean. All of the existing providers and all of the existing patients that are currently getting case management services that will roll into this new type of care. So what is a health home? It's not a location. That confuses a lot of people. There is no actual home. It's a virtual network of providers that provide care management services in a integrated fashion in a way that has previously been, unparalleled in New York City. Dr. Pessin actually has been talking about wanting to do this for 25 plus years, integrate medical health care and behavioral health care to the benefit of all of the patients that are served. So this is an opportunity to do something that is really transformative and unique, and we've been trying to find a way to make it work both from a program perspective and also from a fiscal perspective. So to qualify to be in health home, you need to have one of three things or all of the above: serious persistent mental illness, HIV/AIDS, or two or more chronic conditions, which are listed below, or many of the patients we serve, all of the above. And depending on where you land in terms of your primary diagnosis, it really impacts the acuity that you are ultimately assigned. So these are Medicaid-eligible members. And the services that they're receiving, the state has outlined six core health home services, care management services, and essentially the goal of health homes really is to provide coordinated care management. So I'll talk about this in a moment, that really the heart of this rests in the lap of the care manager and how well services are integrated. But as you can see, there's no direct service provision here. Really, we're talking about care management and care coordination, and whatever a care manager can do and the care management team can do to help ensure that patients are receiving the care and the follow-up for their chronic conditions that they need to receive. So whether that looks like following up with blood tests, doctor's appointments, ensuring that they get there, ensuring that they're compliant with their medications, referring to necessary community services and supports. These all fall under the auspices of care management. And at the core of this, one of the primary components of the Health Home Initiative is IT and HIE and HIT connectivity. So there is a mandate that goes with the Health Home Initiative for health homes to be HIT ready within 18 months of the start of this initiative, which for us means June of next year. And so there's a massive project underway in New York State to try to figure out how to ensure that things like alerts for, your patient has wound up in the ER. How do I know that information in real time? So they're using the RIOS. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the RIO system, sort of a river of information technology that kind of runs underneath all of the service providers. It's a data warehousing system that a lot of the hospitals use to be able to send messages and patient information and claims data. And they're using this as a platform for folks being able to reach in and grab patient data and share patient data. I have no idea how I'm doing on time. 5 minutes, wow. All right, I'm gonna slide through some of this. So the overarching goals of health homes: reduce avoidable inpatient stays, costly emergency room visits, and improve health outcomes. I mean, that's it, reduce costs and improve health outcomes. It boils down to those two things. And what are we doing? So the Visiting Nurse Service of New York, in partnership with 8 other organizations, has been designated as a health home, both in the Bronx and Manhattan. In New York, they're rolling this out in two regions. They're rolling it out in phases by region. So we are phase 1 and phase 2, which is the Bronx and then also Manhattan. We're in partnership. So we have developed an LLC with these 8 other organizations, some hospitals, some other community health providers, federally qualified health centers, the goal being to develop a network of care that can essentially cover the needed services for any patient who might be enrolled in our health home. So while these are the partners, our health home, in addition, has upwards of 400 other agency providers who have signed on to be part of the network to ensure that when somebody comes into our health home, the care manager then can refer seamlessly and easily to somebody else in the network, and they'll be responsive to, say, accepting referrals, offering appointments in a timely way, communicating related to patient care and follow-up. I'm going to flow through that. This is a little bit what I wanted to show you. This is essentially the heart of what health home services look like. What you have at the center is the patient, of course, and closely aligned with the patient would be the care manager. It's the care manager's responsibility to then link all of the primary providers, the primary care provider, the behavioral health care providers, and the specialty care providers, and really communicate on the care plan. The other underlying goal of the HIT connectivity is to have a shared care plan in real time that everyone can access, all of the primary providers can access and have input into. So if, you know, we've got someone with serious mental illness who's struggling with diabetes, their doctor can reach in and provide input into that care plan and help drive the patient care to its optimal place. And then, in addition, the other circle on the outside is all of the other behavioral supports and services that might need to be in place for somebody who is very high risk and disenfranchised in order to help stabilize them and get them on the path to health and recovery. Let's see. That's very complicated about our structure, which you don't necessarily need to know. So I'm going to go back to this. So this shows you a little bit about the patient flow. So essentially, right now, the patients are coming from both Medicaid fee-for-service, but New York State has gone the way of managed care, and soon, really, fee-for-service won't even be an issue. It will all be from the managed care providers. So all the health homes are contracting with as many managed care providers as possible. They are sending us new patients in addition to the ones that already exist. And those are going to our health home, which is the CCMP, the bright blue box at the top there. And when we get the list, we're the lead agency. The Visiting Nurse Service of New York has been the lead agency in implementing this health home. When we get the list, we distribute the patients to our other care management agencies, who then send people out onto the streets and literally go and find these folks who have been unengaged in care and try to talk them into enrolling into a health home, hopefully to everyone's benefit. And the box in the middle, the network providers, this is what I was talking about. The communication is a two-way flow then, between, or a three-way or a four-way flow, between all of the network providers and the care manager, in the interest of ensuring that, you know, patients who can be difficult to care for, resistant to care, resistant to improving, are, you know, encompassed in a circle of providers who all have the common goal of achieving optimal health. Let's see what else we got. How am I doing on time? 1 minute, perfect. Here's all the logos. I think there's probably an hour's worth of information that I haven't been able to give, but this is a broad swath of the overview. Because this started in January implementation, they're really still trying to figure out how to do this. This is a brand new way of delivering care in New York State. So implementation has been sort of delayed and delayed and delayed as they are trying to get a better sense of the best way to roll this out in the interest of ensuring the care of the patients and also sustaining the health of the agencies that have been providing this work for, you know, many, many, many years.